Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise and say thee? In his arms he will can shield thee. Though we'll find a solace there. Sister Anna, come up and have her special this evening. You all be seated as Sister Anna comes. Amen. For her special.
God bless you. Amen. A blessing to you. As you ask me, because a lot of times you don't try to remind your past, and just have some words to tell him.
Amen.
I'll start. There was a time I know when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. There was a time I know when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago, long ago, oh, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, the old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I saved that I would settle, and settle it long ago, long ago. Yes, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, when at the judgment bar I stand before my King, and he the book will open, he cannot find a thing, then will my heart be glad, while tears of joy will flow, because I had it settled, and settled it long ago, long ago. Oh, so long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. O sinner, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he has commanded, if you would enter in, and then if you should live 100 years below, even here you'll not regret it, for you settled it long ago, long ago. Yes, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago.
Thank you, Lord. And it was. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to change over the service this evening. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to have settled. But you have to believe that. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Bless my God. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
God bless you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Y'all can be seated. Amen. No, I'm good. I'm going to be able to see. No, see. Hmm? It doesn't matter. Do you see? Amen. You know, the scripture says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise up a standard against it. So we've not practiced this song, but we're gonna try it. And kind of goes along what I want to speak on tonight, and just kind of been thinking about this song, and so we're gonna try it. Hope it's a blessing to you. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. I won't be caught by your raging tide. I'm walking safely by the Master's side. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. I won't be caught by your raging tide. I'm walking safely by the Master's side. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. Well, if you're waiting for my troubles to get me down, well, friend, there ain't no use you hanging around. 'Cause I don't care what comes my way. It can be big enough, but what you hear me say, roll away, troubled river, roll away. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. Yes, roll away, troubled river, roll away. I won't be caught by your raging tide. I'm walking safely by the Master's side. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. Well, I can always find a reason to be sad. And I can look around and only see the bad. But I can take what my Father sends. I can trust Him. I know He understands, and He'll take that troubled river and roll it away. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. I won't be caught by your raging tide. I'm walking safely by the Master's side. Roll away, troubled river, roll away. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said for us to speak and believe what we say, and it'll come to pass. Amen. Let's all stand this evening. Whatever comes our way, He's got an answer for it. And He wants us to speak it. Ask that your joy might be full. If you say unto this mountain, kind of want to speak on, and tonight I titled this Memorial Stones, and this is not a funeral service, or some people can think about that when you try to like a memory garden in a cemetery headstone or something. But you know, there was a here in Joshua, you know, when it came time for them to cross over Jordan, you know, they gathered stones and they set up a memorial of what God done for them. And, you know, Brother Branham said that stone meant confession. And with the help of the Lord, we're going to look in things tonight. And you know what? Your confession means a lot. You go as far as your confession, what you believe and what you can say. Yeah, that's where you go. So let's just all bow our heads tonight, and certainly want to remember Sister Johnny's request here. Remember the people in the Ukraine and the believers there. We just want to plead the blood for them. You know, if you've never been there, you know, it's kind of hard to sometimes fathom what it's like to be in a situation like that. But you know, God knows all things. He knows all situations. And you know, there's no thing that's difficult for Him. You know, one thing's not any bigger than something else. It's all just the same to Him, and He can take care of all of it. So let's just all bow our heads tonight. We'll just pray over the reading of the Word, and also remember the people in Ukraine and the ones that are watching in online and all the other requests tonight. So let's just all bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord, to be in Your house again tonight. Lord, that we can come and gather with those of like precious faith, Lord, to gather around Your Word, where You said there were two or three gathered in Your name, Lord, You'd be there in the midst. And pray, Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that You just come and move me out of the way, Lord, and just come and anoint each one that's here tonight, Lord. And Father, let us just get ourselves out of the way, Lord, that You can come and speak tonight. Lord, that You can have the preeminence in this service. And Father, for each need, Lord, for the ones that are in Ukraine, Father, we just pray that Your hand will be upon them, Lord. Lord, that we just believe that, Lord, the Holy Spirit will go and cover those people, Lord, that You'll be a protection to them, Lord. We've seen what You've already done, and we just continue to believe that You're going to be there and that You'll come on the scene, and Lord, You'll be a protection to them, Lord, that they'll see more of the workings of the Holy Spirit in their midst, Lord, that because You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Lord, Your hand's not been too short, Lord. You've not got tired or weary like we do, Lord Jesus, because we know that You're the same, Lord. That whatever You've done in the past, You can do again. So, Lord, we just commit all things to You tonight. Lord, we just pray that You just be with us. Lord, just anoint the body of Christ, Lord, the believers around the world. Lord, there's many that are, no doubt, in church tonight or be gathering later on. We just pray that You just be with them, Lord, the believers around the world. Lord, for all of the situations that different ones are facing, Lord, and we see so many requests coming in, Lord, we just can't remember all. But, Lord, we commit them to You, Lord, because we know that You're the same, Lord. You said that for us to ask, Lord, that You could come on the scene, and, Lord, to make fulfill our joy, Lord. So we just commit them to You and believe, Lord, that You're on the scene and that You'll just take care of it, because You make all things right, all things well. And, Lord, we just commit it to You tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to look Joshua chapter 4, begin verse 1 through 9. I really like these screens. This is nice. I'm just kind of getting used to not this is my first time with all this, so all the other brothers have got to do this before, so but it's nice. But anyway, praise the Lord. And it says, Joshua 4, verse 1 says, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. So they're doing two things. So they're taking one set of stones and they're putting it where they're going to reside, but they're going back in where the priests are, back into the Jordan. It says, and you take every man you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. That's the reason I sung that song. Because, you know, when he comes in, he'll cut them off. The swelling of Jordan, he cut the waters off, parted the waters. It says they were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with... With them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and there they are unto this day. And then we're going to continue down verse 19. Pick up verse 19 instead of just reading the whole chapter, but I just want to read this. And it says, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And these 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come. See, now they're asking about the first stones that's in the water. And now he's talking about the others. They're setting another memorial up. And he said, when they ask their fathers in time to come, said, what mean these stones? Then ye shall say, let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. And it's quite interesting reading when you start to read this, because when he's speaking of the children of Israel coming, and then when he's speaking of, there's two sets of stones that they are set up, and one's in the water and one's outside the water. It's in their lodging. And then he says that he departed the Jordan when they come over into the promised land, as the Red Sea was parted for those that came out of Egypt. The young ones, as Brother Wade was preaching on Sunday, those young ones, when they were born in the journey, they were born in the way. So there's a lot of them, they didn't know the crossing of the Red Sea, but they heard of the crossing. They knew what took place because they had heard what was taking place in the journey. And so, you know, here's a young group that heard all these things, but, you know, they didn't have an experience of their own. But here they are, this group, as they come up, and God gives them an experience just like he gave the children, that their fathers, when they came up. They had just the same kind of experience that they had to go through. And, you know, there's several different things that when you look at this tonight, because, you know, when you see that God, he was so real, and he was so present before the people, that when he began to speak and he began to do, and he was there. And, you know, and here, and, you know, when they were in Egypt, when they were in bondage, you know, God come and spoke to them to bring them out. You know, he didn't forget about them, but he came. And you know, and every time that when he started to bring them out, everything that they came up against, he had an answer for. And he showed himself present. And he showed himself real. And he showed himself faithful to the people. So that every time anything happened, there was not anything that God failed at. To give them an answer, because here they are in bondage to the greatest nation that's on the face of the earth. And here they are living in bondage, and they begin to cry out to God because God didn't forget who they were. Sometimes they forgot who they were, but God didn't forget who they were, and he never forgot his covenant with those people. And here they are when he comes to them in Egypt to bring them out. Well, then everything that was a hindrance to them, that was strong and mighty, he destroyed. You know, when you go back and you begin to read in the Old Testament, when you begin to read each one of the plagues that came, what was the answer for one of the plagues? Each plague, what was it? It was attacking a deity, a god that Egypt had. They worshiped the god of the Nile. Well, guess what? They couldn't keep it from turning into blood. So when you begin to see all of the things, that was each time they had a deity or a god, well, then God raised up and said, you know what? Your god has no power. Your deity has no power. So you know what? I'm going to send fleas and flies and the frogs and everything else. And I'm gonna make it so dark that the darkness is felt. Amen. And each one of the things, and you know, and then he took and he slayed the firstborn of man and beast. Why? Because he showed each one of their gods that the Egyptians had all of their faith, had all their confidence in, who was binding them, who had them under bondage. But you know what? They had all of their confidence in all this, and God went in there and destroyed every one of them. He bit every one of them. I was listening to Brother Trevor Emond some time back, and Brother Trevor was, I didn't know this, I thought it was quite interesting, that the Egyptians actually thought that frogs were very important. They were some kind of, in their deity, you know, it was a sin to kill a frog. So you know what? They had all them frogs, and they couldn't get rid of them. So, you know, it was one more night with the frogs, but there was no way of getting rid of them. But you know what? Each one of those things was done to prove to the children of Israel that God was present, that God was faithful, that God was powerful, that he had the power to lead them. So that everything they went through, he gave them an answer to. Then when he told them, he set them in order, and he told them, he said, take the lamb. He said, Take this lamb. He said, roast it with fire. He said, no water. It has to be roasted with fire. All of its entrails has to be, it's a full lamb. Now, you know, when you think about that sometimes, you know, that might not be the most appetizing smell when you're racing that whole thing by itself. But you know, that was what they were supposed to eat. They had to have their shoes on their feet, their staff in their hand, eating that unleavened bread. Why? Because he was telling them, listen, now it's time, because of what you've seen, what I've done, what I have promised, now it's going to come to pass, and now it's time for you to leave. Now it's time for you to, we're going to eat this, and then we're going to leave. And so he gave them everything that they had need of for the journey, set them in order, and then he brought them out. But the first time that he brought them out, when he brought them out of Egypt, then the first time they have a problem, then they want to murder Moses and Aaron. They want to murmur and complain. Why? Because they've not seen what God has done up to that point. They've not had confidence in what God has done up to that point. So when they come to the Red Sea, then all of a sudden here they are. It's like, what's going to happen? You know, you just brought us out here to get killed. Well, no, God has set everything in order. He's brought you this far. You know, it's further than they would have went on their own. It was further than they could do by themselves. And he's already brought them out. He showed that the Egyptians were powerless. And he brought them out there, and then they want to complain. Well, I don't know. What are you going to do now? And so how ungrateful people can be because of what? But God's faithful. And he didn't give up on them. They wanted to give up on God. And so here they are when he brings them out and they come to the Red Sea. Then he tells Moses, speak the word and go forward. Why are you crying to me? And so he speaks the word. The waters part and they cross over. And then every time, and then, you know, they were only a few days journey from where they were supposed to be. And yet, and all of the things that God done for them, they never were satisfied. They never could believe what God done for them, that God was going to carry them over. Then we see they had all of those people that didn't believe. Moses come to a place and told them, said, listen, you're all going to die. Your carcasses will rot in the wilderness. The book of Numbers tells us, he said, your children, which you said shall be a prey, will go in and take the land, but your carcasses will rot in the wilderness. So he made a promise to those people that they would go into that land. When he carried all of them all of that way and brought them up to the place and showed everything was faithful. What does the scripture tell us when he come and when he made the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Testimony, as the scripture tells us, he calls it the Ark of the Testimony. What was it? It was a testimony of God's faithfulness to the people and showed it was a rebuke to them. When he made the tables of stone and he put it in the Ark, was a testimony against them. Because Moses had went into the mountain to get the word that God had wrote with his finger on the tablet. And God had spoke to Moses to bring them to that place when God wanted to have fellowship with them. Wanted to have fellowship with each one of them. And they could not come to that place. Oh, we don't let God speak to us. Moses, you go get it. We don't want to have that fellowship. We don't want to have a kind of relationship like that. No, we're going to let you do that. But see, so here was what were they doing when Moses went into the mountain for God to give Moses the law, give him the word? What were they doing? They were down there committing idolatry. What did they do? Go down there and build a golden calf. And here they are in the midst of golden calf. Well, you know what? Because you know what? They couldn't wait. They couldn't wait on God. Well, Moses must be gone, you know. We're all here by ourselves, you know. So, and then, you know, then all of a sudden it's like, hey, well, Aaron, we want you to give us some gods. We need something. Well, then Aaron's like, well, you just give me your gold, your earrings, and we'll... And he told Moses, hey, we just threw it in the fire and it just come out as a golden calf. Can you imagine that? It was a miracle. No, the miracle was when God came down and he wrote on a tablet and he gave it, and Moses smashed the tablet. But see, the second set that he was given went into the ark. Well, see, that was a testimony. That was a rebuke to them because of what God had done. When God was giving them the word and trying to have a relationship with them, trying to have communication with them, wanting to have communion, and what they want to do. No, we just want to live just like the Egyptians did. We just want to have just like everybody else out there and around us. You know, we just want to have just a same kind of lax kind of life and just, you know, do whatever, kind of be religious or whatever. But we don't want to actually be Christians. We don't want to actually have to be followers of the word. But we're just going to do our own kind of thing. And so here they are. And then, you know, they wanted to murmur and complain this whole time. And God's faithful to them. And then he has Aaron put his name on the rod. And he put it before the tabernacle. And, you know, and it budded. Say, hey, you know what? Y'all want to believe who's in charge? Well, let me show you what's going to happen. And when the rod budded, then he put it in there as a testimony against them. It was a rebuke to the people. The manna that fell, all those years that the manna failed for those people, every single day they get out. You don't have to work. You don't have to toll. You don't have to shovel. You don't have to dig holes or pull weeds or nothing like that. It just comes out of the sky, and all you got to do is pick it up. if you're not too lazy to do that. But I mean, it was a supernatural thing. It took place every day. And you know what they could say? We loathe this stuff. We can't stand this stuff. We can't stand what the fivefold ministry is preaching. We're getting sick of this. But it was a supernatural thing that God done. And he took up an omer of this and he put it in the ark of the testimony. And what was it? It was a rebuke to the people. That God had been faithful to them the whole time and they didn't believe him. And it's the same way with you and I. We can get to the place where, you know, God is doing so much, has done so much things for us. But you know what? Sometimes we can't have faith to believe that God is on the scene, that God is real. And when, you know, when you come up for prayer or you have a need or you have wayward loved ones and we can't trust God to come on the scene and do his work, then you know what? It's a slap in the face of God. It's a rebuke to us that we can't believe that. That God has done so much for us and we can't believe that he's still the same. You know, just like them, all the things that God done, he was there on the scene. And you know, he was so real and he met every one of their needs. And all the supernatural things where they didn't get sick, their clothes didn't wear out. All the things that they went through. And you know what, they couldn't believe that God could get them to the next stop. Every time they come to, you know, whatever it was, you know, they... Well, what are we going to do now, Moses? We got to murmur and complain. And even when he came and, you know, when Korah and them came and, you know, they wanted to rise up and say, you know, you're not the only one that's anointed around here. You're not the only one that knows the mind of God. You're not the only one that can do all these things, Moses. We are too. And then Moses is like, well, we'll find out. Well, you know, if these people have just live a natural life and anything, nothing supernatural happens to them, then you know what? They're of God. But you know, if something happens to these people, then you're going to see that the hand of God is against those people. And when the earth opened up, swallowed all them and all their belongings and everything, and the next day, you know, they ran from Moses and then next day they're out there, you killed the people of God. No, you just heard. Moses just told you that God was going to be supernatural in destroying these people. And they still don't believe it. And so when all these things took place, here all the way through, God was leading them. But you know, there was a young group that was there that saw all those things. You know, can you imagine you go to church and you hear Moses preach and Moses telling you these things and your mom and dad's like, well, Moses, he's just got, you know, one foot in the grave and one on the banana peel. And, you know, he don't know what he spent too long in the sun. And, you know, he's just, you know, his mind's a little baked and, you know, or whatever. You know, they have all these things where they just want to look at Moses and say, well, Moses ain't all that he thinks he is. But you know, but there was a group that saw those things. But you know what? Every time they come up to see these hardships and these problems, there was a group that was there that actually believed and saw what God would do. They saw the faithfulness of God in their midst. And you know, and they had two witnesses out of 12 that actually went into the promised land and came back. Now, can you imagine, you know, you see all these people, and these spies are coming back, and they're having to carry this great big cluster of grapes and all these things, and they're telling you, man, guess what? That land is just like God said it was going to be. It's everything that's in that land is flowing with milk and honey, everything. And even God said that that belonged to us, that was our inheritance. But you know what? We look like grasshoppers compared to them. There's no way we can go in there and take it. Well, you know, one thing isn't greater to God than anything else, and he's brought them all that way. And all the miracles that's taken place. And he's standing there. And he's like, well, I don't know if we can do that or not. But those young people were standing there, and they heard two men. Joshua and Caleb. And they heard the testimony of two men Well, maybe they were on the fence sometimes. Maybe the young people were there, and you know, sometimes they were like, well, you know, Daddy says this, but you know, when you hear Joshua, boy, it's so strong. You know, it's so real. It's so, you know, it's like, boy, you know, I think I feel like I could do it. And it's like, you know, well, Mama says this. And it's like, you know, I don't know. You know, I've started to get a little concerned, a little scared, because when Mama talks about, you know, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. But, you know, I can hear Caleb, and Caleb is stirring something inside of me. So, you know, then there's that battle that they have to go through, these young people. But you know what? Every single one of those old fighters, those men of war, the Scripture says they died. You know what? Mama died. And then Daddy died. And your older brother and everybody else is passing on. Then all of a sudden, you know, they start to grow up, and it's like, you know what? Hey, we get into the place where we may have to do this. And it's like, I got to make this decision for myself. I can look at the failures of my parents, of my grandparents. But brothers and sisters, then it becomes to us, it's like, well, are we going to have the same failures? You know, our parents have done the best that they could for us. But, you know, lots of people have seen the faults and failures of their parents. And some people, you know, that's what's held them back. And then other people, you know, they've seen the faults and failures of their parents. They've seen the shortcomings. But you know what? That didn't stop them. Well, praise God. You know, if Mama only got so far, that was Mama's experience. But that's not my experience. I've got to have my own experience. And if Daddy could only get so far, well, praise God, that was Daddy's experience. But he can only get so far. But I've got to come to a place where I believe that I can have an experience of my own that I can overcome, because I've heard the word. That I've heard the word of Joshua. I've heard the word of Jesus, the Savior. I've heard His word. The one that's going to lead us over. I've heard the word. Amen. Now, it didn't happen overnight. But you know what? They began to walk in that word. They began to grow, and they began to take a hold of what was being preached to them. It's like, well, I don't understand all this. I don't understand the seals. I don't understand 70 weeks of Daniel. I don't understand these things. But you know what? I still believe it. I don't, you know, maybe I don't understand the oneness of the Godhead, and I don't understand these things. But you know, it's still, there's something that draws me. And you know what? They hold on to that. It's like, well, you know, they have parents that, you know, that's walked in the message, and they've turned and walked out. It's like, well, I don't know if this is right or if this is true or, you know, whatever. But you know, they still got young people. They still holding on. They still, well, because they're going to make a decision for themselves. And all the way they came through that wilderness journey, and they seen all the death and destruction and all the ones falling away. But you know what? There was something that God had spoken to them, and it stirred inside of them that was for me. That's mine. So when they came to this experience, when they came to the waters of Jordan, and Joshua had rose up, and Moses came to the end of his ministry, and then when he came to the end of it, then he went to cross over, that the Lord took him, and he raised up Joshua, and he told Joshua, you carry the people in. Well, then the Scripture tells us that he magnified Joshua in the eyes of the people, that they understood that Joshua was going to carry them over, that Joshua, God had commissioned him and had enabled him to carry them over. That he was anointed to bring them to that place. And so when they came to that place, then they had the anointing to cross over. And so here they are, when they're coming to this Jordan experience, you know what? They saw the Ark of the Covenant go forth, the word that went forth, and the priest had stepped into the water in the swelling of Jordan. Brother Branham said, you know, it would be the most crazy time, the most unscientific time to pick to go cross over Jordan. Who would want to cross over Jordan at this time? Because it is so swollen. It's the worst time to try to cross over. With all of that water that's coming out of the mountains, it's such a force. And all of a sudden, Joshua tells the priest, you carry the word forth. No matter what the circumstances look like, the word goes first. Make the word the preeminent part. And as they began to bring the ark into the water, as they began to step in, then the waters began to part. And as they began to walk, then all of a sudden, the priests are beginning to stand. The priests are standing in the midst of the Jordan, and it has spread apart, and it's dry land. Now, the priests are still standing. They're holding the ark in the water. And then Joshua turns to the people and tells them, listen, y'all cross over now. And what's so amazing about that is if you can't see the necessity of the fivefold ministry, what is going to bring you over, what's going to bring you into the overcoming, if you can't see that it takes the fivefold ministry to bring you to that place, that I think you're blind. And so many people are spiritually blind. It's the necessity, because the word has to be set in order. And it takes the fivefold ministry to do that. Because God spoke through Brother Branham, the prophet, and the prophet gave us the word to set a fivefold ministry in order. Well, you know what? He never done away with that. Paul wrote about it. It's all throughout the scripture. And so when they set it in order, then it's not us, but it took the word and those priests, when they stepped out, what was it? They were following the word of the prophet. Joshua was the one that was anointed to speak, and he spoke them into position, and they walked into the water. So it's not Brother Wade, it's not me, it's not Brother Luis, or nobody like that, but it's God speaking through the prophet to us. So it's not our message, it's not our thought, but it's the word of God. That we can set things in order. That's how we overcome it. Because if you don't, I mean, it's so amazing. It's so real to understand what we need in this hour. What God has called in this hour, and people miss it. To bring over, go over. Now the waters have parted. Now cross over. Cross over this death. Cross over. You know, so wherever you are in your Christian journey, wherever God brought you from, wherever it is, the word is here. The word is here for you to continue on. Continue to go forward. God has set the ministry in place for you to help you, to minister to you. Now the waters have parted, and it's for us to go forward. So they began to walk over into the promised land. That's when Joshua told him, he said, every man a tribe, from every tribe there was a man that come, and he took the stones, and when they picked it up out of that dry land, they carried it and put it in their lodging place. They put it in the promised land. They laid it up in Gilgal. There was going to be a testimony to what God had done. And so then they went back into the water, and he said, you set this set of stones here where the priest stood, in the water. And so when all of them crossed over and they set up, Joshua set the stones, and they had the stones in Gilgal. When the priest came up out of the water, then the waters came together and washed over the top of that. You know, then when you read, you know, when it shows the placing of those stones, it showed that the sacrifice that our redemption laid there, it was Christ that took our place. He took our place in judgment. But you know what? He brought us into the promised land. And so when he set those stones up in their residing place, when they set up those stones, then that was a testimony. That was a memorial to those people of what God had done. But it was a testimony. It was a memorial for what they'd all seen. Because when they crossed over the Red Sea, they failed. when God done the miracles before, they failed to go on. But when he come into this place, then it was a memorial to them that God brought them here. They didn't do it themselves. It wasn't God bringing you over, or it wasn't you bringing yourself over. It wasn't somebody else. It was God that brought you over. It was God that brought you into this place. And when they came into this land, then it was a memorial, or a different term, a better term maybe, is a landmark. And we know in the scripture it talks about having a landmark. You know. And here's a few scriptures in Deuteronomy 19:14. It says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thy inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess." Deuteronomy 27:17 said, "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark," and all the people shall say, "Amen." Proverbs 22:28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." So when he was referring back to those, and the definition of a landmark is a place or a thing that carries religious, cultural, or historical significance. So when they set this up, it was a reminder to them of what God had done for them. And he said, "You always bring back to your children." What does the scripture tell? He said, "Tell your children and your children's children and another generation." Right. So we continue to tell our children. When they ask, "What does it mean by these stones?" Well, you know what? We overcame. Right. It was the word of God. It was God's grace to us that we overcome this. Yeah, we overcame this. When we come through this Jordan, the swelling of Jordan, and God brought us into this land. This land of promise is ours because he promised it to us, and he made every provision that we had need of. He brought us to this place. We got no signal. Praise the Lord, we tied into a different signal. But we see when they begin to bring these things, when he brought them into the land and he showed them this, and then they set that up, and that was always going to be a position for them to look at, to remember where they came from. Right. They came into this land. And so when we begin to speak of this, First Samuel chapter 10, and it says, he said unto the children of Israel, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians and out of the hands of all kingdoms and of them that oppressed you." He said, "And ye have this day rejected your God." This is Samuel speaking. Well, I'll get to that in a second. He said, "But rejected your God, who himself saved you out of your adversaries and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." So when they came into the land, and here they are, they come into this land, and then you know how the children of Israel, they came in and they began to take their positions, and we know that Joshua took a 7-part book and laid out the inheritance to each tribe and told them, and they went forth to take their land. But you know, we know that they didn't take all their land. They couldn't get rid of all of them. So when they didn't get rid of all of the all the Ites, the Hivites and the Jebusites and all the other problemites that are in the land. You know, when all the Ites that got in their way, when they didn't get out of that, when they didn't overcome them, when God told them to, then guess what? They began to take on the spirit and the actions of the people that lived in the land. So then they began to act like everybody else. And here they are in the land that God gave them. And so when here in the scripture is Samuel speaking to the people when they want a king. And Samuel tells him, he says, Have I done anything to cheat you? He said, have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass? He said, have I ever done you wrong? No, 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 no. We love you. Everything's great, Samuel. But we still want a king. They come into this land, and you're supposed to be a separate people. Be separate, saith the Lord. Because, you know, I have a covenant with you, and you're not supposed to be like everybody else. But the thing is if you run everybody out of your possession, then you know what? It's not a problem because they're not there. But then all of a sudden, when they get into the land and God tells them to utterly destroy it and get rid of all these people, then it's like, well, you know what? We're not going to get rid of them. You know what we'll do? We'll just have them pay us tribute. We're going to live with them. But what do they do? The longer they stay around these people, the more they become a thorn in their flesh. The more time they become a problem to them. Why? Because they begin to act like them. Because they begin to see what everybody else has got. And they begin, well, I kind of like that. It catches my eye. But you know what? It's sin. Oh, sin looks great. But you know, that's the problem. It's sin. And what is the cost in the long run? What's it going to cost you in the end? And when Samuel began to tell them all after all this time that they began to live and mingle and intermarry and just all the different things that they had, and, you know, they had all these problems living around these people when God told them to stay separate. You need to stay away from all these people. If you run them out, you know what? You don't have to worry about when you got Hivites and Jebusites and all the Amalekites and all. When they're dead, you know what? They're not a problem. But you know what? When you try to bring them together and you try to work a deal, you can't make a deal with the devil. You can't work a deal with Satan. You're not going to be halfway in the world and halfway out. You're going to lose it. Why? Because you're going to be overcome. And you know, and he told, and when Samuel came to that place and he began to cry to God that they wanted a king. Here they are. They got into this land. God's brought them all this way. He's done all these great things for them. Well, you know what? We want to be like everybody else. Well, you know what? It just hurts sometimes. It's just a little bit uncomfortable to be a little separate from everybody, to be a little different than everybody else. You know what? It just makes me uncomfortable to have to tell people that I'm not a Trinitarian. It makes you uncomfortable to tell somebody that, you know what? Women don't cut their hair. It makes people uncomfortable to have to tell them, you know what? Because that's what the Scripture says. Well, you know, Acts 2:38, we don't believe in Matthew 28:19 the way y'all believe it. When the Holy Spirit came down and landed on 120 in the upper room and they came out, and you know what? They were full of the Holy Ghost, and Jesus gave the keys to the apostle Peter, and Peter began out with the 12, and they began to preach under the Holy Ghost anointing, when the Word had been quickened inside of them, and the Holy Ghost, the life of Christ, had took up residence inside of them, and they began to preach. And the first thing is, he tells them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we're not going to touch that. Woo, can't touch that. Well, that's the Holy. That's the Word. That was the Holy Ghost speaking through people. That was speaking through the 120. Because that's what Jesus promised them to take place. And he said, you will be my witnesses. And to Jerusalem, Judea, and the outermost parts of the earth. But you know what? You got the wrong formula. You're going to be my witnesses, but you're toting the wrong message. Okay, whatever. I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. But that was the truth. That's what he done. And so when Samuel comes up there and he begins to cry out to God for what the people have done, he said, don't worry about it, Samuel. I want you to understand something. He said, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. He said, they rejected me from being their leader. And he said, now they're going to have somebody that's going to be just like the world. We're going to just look like the Joneses. We're going to act like the Joneses. We're going to talk like the Joneses. We're going to have all the problems that the Joneses have. But we don't see it that way. Why? Because this is what we've done. So when Samuel walks up to him and he begins to speak this day, he says, and ye have this day rejected your God. Because that's exactly what God told Samuel. They rejected me. He said, you rejected your God, and him saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. So when he begins to tell them this, then he says, well, guess what? Y'all line up. And then he begins to call each tribe, and he calls the tribe of Benjamin. And then he goes through and he calls the family. And as he goes through, then he calls Saul. And he brings Saul up. The Saul's got a good resume. Head and shoulders above everybody else. Nobody as goodly as Saul. He was a great man. He was a great big tall man, but you know what? The Bible says that he was little in his own sight. He had his heart in the right place. But you know, Samuel told him, said, listen, he said, now you've come into this land, but you know what? Now you're going the wrong way. But you want a king, you're going to have one. But he said, let me tell you what's going to happen. All your possessions are going to go to the king. Your daughters are going to work for the king. Your sons are going to be servants to the king. All your best possessions are going to the king. We're going to live like the world, and you're going to pay like the world. But they didn't see it that way. It's going to take the rebuke off of us. It's going to take this stigma off us because we don't have a king. And so they begin to go forward, and he sets up a king. And then when Samuel speaks to Saul and he tells him, he said, go to Gilgal. That's the reason I read that scripture earlier. Where were they at when they set up this memorial? They were in Gilgal. And now where are they going to get their king? Gilgal. They're going right back to the place they started. Why? Because it was a memorial. God brought them over. God was their leader. But no, they're going to have their own leader. They're going to follow their own plan. So they come to Gilgal. 1 Samuel 11. 15 says, and the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. So here's they got their king, they got their wish. But you know, it doesn't take long before Saul has a problem. And the people have a problem too. No, we got this thing solved. We got this way we want it. Because this is what we want right here. Well, then we know later on, and just a couple of chapters later, we know that Saul has a problem. Those people that he was supposed to run out of the land, that they were supposed to run out of the land by the name of the Philistines, now they've come back and they started making problems. And now they are getting surrounded. They're getting outnumbered and they're getting pressured by the Philistines. And the scripture tells us that Saul, it says, and all Israel, this is Psalms, 1 Samuel 13, verse 4 says, and all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul in Gilgal, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. Now, they didn't have a little problem. They had a big problem. But see, that's the whole thing. See, when you allow the devil to have his way, that's what you end up with. It looks fine until all of a sudden you get in a bad place. You give place to the devil, and that's what you end up with. He takes it all. And it said, and they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward in Bethaven, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait. For the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and rocks and high places and pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Sound like they got a good leader there. He didn't build any confidence in them. And they didn't have a lot of confidence in him either. It said, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, that thou comest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gather themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. See, now he's out of place. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. That wasn't his job. That was not his position. As we were talking about last time, that's not his ministry. That wasn't what God called him to. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So when everything went wrong and it didn't work out the way he planned it, and he didn't see Samuel there, he didn't just wait on Samuel because that was the prophet and Samuel said, and he just got a little bit ahead of himself. And as soon as he finished offering the sacrifice, then Samuel shows up. And all of a sudden, then he's in trouble because he's already broken the law. And so then God said, listen, I've rejected you. You're done. And I've given the kingdom over to one who's worthy of the kingdom. A man after my own heart. Now here they are in the place where they set up, and they crossed over. And they set up this memorial. And the people come back to that place. And all of a sudden, he does the same thing. They turn the word down. They leave the word. There's the memorial. That was the landmark that was set up for them in that place. Don't leave this. Don't leave this place. Now, Brother Branham says, and why Little Bethlehem, when he was talking about all the cities, that Jesus could have been born in all these. He said, then there was Gilgal, another great spiritual place of worship. So Gilgal was a great place to have worship. And then we know that a few chapters later, in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, we know that later on that Samuel comes and the Lord begins to speak to Samuel. And Samuel tells him to go, tell Saul to go and smite the king Agag and all of the people. And the Amalekites. And so in chapter 15 it says, and then the Lord, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now listen, that's the heart of a pastor right there. when you see people not doing what they ought to be doing. And they cry out. That's a person that stands in the midst and intercedes for people. And we don't appreciate it. That's just the truth. People don't know the heartache with being a minister, being a pastor, all the struggle. And you know, we've got one of the best in the world, and I appreciate him, and we don't sometimes we don't pay. We just don't honor the position that and the man that we've had that God's blessed us with. But he said he cried unto the Lord all night. Then Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and he told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, when I read what Brother Ram said about Gilgal being a place of worship, because, you know, when we begin to hear in a minute, you know, then he says, we have done the commandment of the Lord. Then Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul, we can't hear your testimony for your testimony. Your testimony's behind you. And they're making all that noise back there. That's the testimony. Oh no, we've done what the Lord told us to do. I don't want to be in his shoes. He said, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. Now the commission that was given to them, the commandment that was given to them, was to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Don't bring anything back. Everything is utterly destroyed. Amen. Kill everything, men, women, children, everything that moves and breathes, slay it. Yeah. Right. Burn it and get rid of it. Right. Oh, no. We've got a better plan. Now look. He said, For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Well, God didn't want that. God didn't ask for that. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee to be the king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the king sent me, and have utterly destroyed, and have brought which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Well, that's one of them that you didn't kill. You're supposed to destroy all of them. See, if you don't destroy all of it, you ain't finished the job, because that's the one that's going to be your problem. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. See, there's a sacrifice. Hey, we're gonna worship. That's not the scripture tells us that we're supposed to worship in spirit and in truth. Follow the word, all the word. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Which is a repeat of what happened previously when he offered, when they were fighting the Philistines, and he went in there and made a sacrifice, and God rejected him, and now he went right back to the same place. Went right back to Gilgal, where Samuel rebuked him previously. As Brother Ernie Villanueva would say, somebody stuck in dumb. Stuck in stupid. But he stuck there. But you know, he just couldn't get out of that. I wasn't gonna say that word, but he said it, but I was going not supposed to use that word, I guess. But anyway, suck in stupid. But anyway, for rebellion is a sin as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. Because see, God had rejected Saul, so Samuel's like, listen, I can't have anything else to do with you. I can go so far, but now you're done. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go, he laid hold of the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it unto a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. So Samuel and Saul, here they come right back to Gilgal, where they had set up a memorial to come to the word. God brought them this far. God's going to bring you further. But yeah, you have to have, as Brother Graham said, you have to have a tie post. This marker, this landmark, this memorial where you're coming to, and this is where you're going to stay. Because you know, when the scripture tells us don't move those landmarks. Don't move your neighbor's landmark. Why? Because that's his possession. And that's what God gave him. Because if you move the landmark, then you're a thief. You're taking what somebody doesn't belong to you because it belongs to somebody else. But you know, that's a boundary. I think Brother Luis preached on that some time back, talking about having boundaries. God set up a boundary. Well, that's what those landmarks were for, was a boundary where you're supposed to be. And here is, well, I just hearken to the voice of the people. Because the people, this is what they want to do. They want to worship God. They want to offer sacrifices. Well, you know what? It didn't mean anything to God. It was a stench in his nostrils. Because if you want to please God, then you obey the word of God. Then you have faith in what he said, because he said without faith it's impossible to please God. So you take what God said, and then that's what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to go and follow what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to follow the word. But they didn't. And so when you come back to Gilgal, when they come to this place and they receive the word that they were supposed to come and follow. Now I'm gonna finish up here in a minute, but I'm gonna try to do this a little quick tonight. But you know, there was another man that came to Gilgal, and there was a prophet came and spoke to a man and told him to follow him and laid his mantle on him. And that was Elijah. Elijah came, and they were at Gilgal. And he laid his mantle on Elisha. And he told him to come. And when God called him, when he called Elisha, Elisha's in the field. Elisha's in the field, and he's plowing. Well, you know what? He didn't sit and make a lot of excuses with Elisha. But you know, he said, pardon me just a minute. And he went out there and killed some oxen and boiled it and fed the people. And he burnt the yoke and everything like that. And he was like, okay, let's go. Why? Because he realized God called and the man of God has called him. So you know what? Elisha didn't sit around and wait and him haul or nothing. Like, he got rid of all of it. I ain't got nothing to go back to. I burned all that stuff behind me. I got nothing else to go back to. And so you know what? He began to walk with Elijah. And so as we know that Brother Ram talks about, you know, he says that he began to walk with him and the message God called man, you know, Brother Ram's talking about him bringing him into training. He wanted to train Elisha and give him some training. And then he continues on. You can scroll up, brother. Scroll up. There it is. So save some of the reading, but you can read it later. But, you know, he had this thing that he left all that and he came. He said, now God's got to give him some training. He's been training him how to keep his eyes on the furrow with 12 yoke of oxen and one man plying with him. He taught him some patience and how to be patient and train those ox to walk straight in the line. And he had to train some men afterwards. He said, keep them on the Bible, on the word, lined up with the word, stay straight in the line. And then even God had to school him a little bit. He said, now tarry you here. And he said, I got to go to Gilgal. The Lord has called me. Amen. So Elijah is being called. But Elisha says, and the prophet, after he had felt that power upon him in the robe of Elijah, he said, as the Lord liveth and your soul liveth, he said, I'll not leave you. Amen. He said, went on to Gilgal, which is the place of Christian confession and baptism. And then he said, just stay right here. This is good enough. You've made confession and baptism. This is good enough. He said, I'm going to Bethel, which means the house of God. But you know, then he said he was going beyond that. And so when he come to the place of the house of God, and then he says, no, he said, as your soul liveth, as the Lord lives, he said, I'm going to follow you. So he goes to the next place. And then he continues on from there and he goes to the next place. And what's so amazing is when you see that when they cross over in Joshua chapter 5, when the children of Israel cross over, they cross over Jordan. They're in the midst of Gilgal. And they eat the Passover in the plains of Jericho. And when Elisha is following Elijah, they're in Gilgal, which is, Brother Brown types as justification. So they come to Gilgal. Then he said, but the Lord has called me to Jericho, to where the prophets are, where the school of the prophets are. And he said, as thy soul liveth, the Lord's liveth. He said, I'm not staying here. He said, I'm going on. He said, you're going to Jericho. I'm going to Jericho. And so he follows him into Jericho, where the school of the prophets are. And they prophesy to him. He said, do you not realize that your master is going to be taken from you? He said, well, I know that, but he said, I'm still following him. He said, I've got a desire because God has laid his mantle upon me. And he said, he's called me to do something. So I'm going to follow this and I'm going to continue. And then when he comes to that place, then when Elijah asked Elisha, he said, what do you want from me? What is it that you desire? He said, I want a double portion. Right. He said, I've seen what you've done. I've seen the power that you have. He said, I want a double portion. Yeah. 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 Right. He said, I want what you've got. Right. He said, but I want a double portion of that. Amen. He said, you've asked a hard thing. He said, but if you see me when I go, he said, you'll receive that. Elijah had laid his mantle upon Elisha in the field when he called him. But you know what? Come back upon Elisha when Elijah left. When they left Jericho, they went to the Jordan. They began to walk to the Jordan. And he took that and he smote the waters and they parted. And then when we cross over, then Elijah left. But what came back upon Elisha was that mantle. Amen. He received the mantle. And Brother Brown talked, he said it's a type of Christ and the church. Amen. It's a type of the bride receiving it. Amen. And so, you know, when you see that how this took place, then he received that, and then he crawled, he smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord? Where is the God of Elijah?" And he crossed back over the waters. And the people began to see that, he said, the spirit of Elijah rest upon Elisha. They began to see what was taking place. Why? Because Elijah was still in their midst. The spirit of Elijah was resting upon him. And so it's the same way with the bride. When you see what God has called you to, it's up to you. But you know, God called you. In the beginning, he brought them over Jordan. He brought them through the wilderness, and he brought them into the land, which is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. They came in. But here's Elijah, the bride in Christ, and here they are, and they start riding. So you know, when they say, "Well, praise God, you know, you've got the new birth, and that's it." No, that's the beginning of your next journey. Your journey ain't finished. Why? Because you're in Gilgal. And you know, you're in the place of worship, of instruction, of rebuke. Each one of those things took place in Gilgal. Why? Because that's where God brought them to. When you start here in justification. So when you come into the new birth, you've not left justification. You've not finished. That's where you're starting. And then you come to Jericho. You're walking toward Jordan to overcome. And it's a continuation all the way through, every step of the way. And so here they are when they come. So God is bringing you to that same place, bringing you to an overcoming. And so, you know, how far will you go? Just like Elisha, I'm going to follow you all the way. He's calling you up the stature of a perfect man. He said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Well, if he's calling you to that, then how far are you going? Well, I'm going to go all the way. Lord, you call me, then I'm going to continue to go. I'm going to go down and continue to go. Why? Because I'm leading, and it takes us all the way back to Jordan. All the way to Jordan, you got to cross over. Why? Because there's a death, another death. Just as in the beginning, when you cross over and there's been an overcoming and you've received the Holy Ghost. But you know what? The Brother Branham says, you know, when you come all this way, he said, you see, you've not received the Holy Ghost yet. Why? Because there's another death that's got to take place. Why? Because I must decrease that he might increase. Why? Because there's another place. Why? Because it's not just him speaking, but he said the bride has got to come into rapturing condition. She's got to come into speaking condition. So she's got to come back to that place that the mantle that was upon Elijah will rest upon Elisha. The same spirit that anointed him anoints us. We have the same ministry that he had. She is him. So when he comes back today, then we have the same ministry that he has. We come back to the same place. Then you know what? If we realize that we continue to walk in this journey, then our word is just as good as the Father's. Because we are not speaking our own word, but we begin to speak what he once spoke. That we know what he once done with the word. That it's him speaking. It's not I, but it's him. I do not what's of myself, but what I see the Father doeth, the Son doeth likewise. So we see those taking place. How far are you going to go? You come to Gilgal, to a place of rebuke and a place of sacrifice, a place of worship. That you come to God and God's showing you where he's brought you to. And he's laid these foundations. He's laid these memorials in your life. He's shown you how far he's brought you to. He lays a tie post down and told you, you've come through justification. You've come through sanctification. And you've come to an overcoming. You've come into the land. Well, then you know what? Then every time, he said, Brother Ben said, you can know where you are with God at any point in time. He's going to show you the tie post. Where you're tied to. But how far are you and I going to plan on going? We can go all the way. However, wherever you go, I'm going also. I'm not going to allow myself to be held back. But I want to go as far as you lead me, Lord. Wherever you lead me to, that's how far I'm going to go. Why? Because you promised a body change. There's somebody coming to a body change. Well, then, brothers and sisters, that's what God has called us to. Then that's what he requires of us. But he's made the way.
He's made the way, all the way to a body change, but you've got to see that. But it's got to be your belief. It's got to be your confession. That stone that was there in that memorial is their confession. That's your confession. What do you confess? I'm an overcomer. God has called me. He didn't call me just to live the same message, you know, just to come and be a child of God. He called me into a place that He can use me. That I can come into my full ministry. As we spoke on last time, to understand God's called us into a ministry, that God called you to a place and He wants you to become mature Christians, that you become just like Him, that the people can see Him in you, that He can see Him in me, and that we can do the greater works, that we can do what God wants us to do. That's what God has called us to. Then when Brother Wade's speaking of the Son of Man, who is the Son of Man? Well, we're not looking back 2,000 years ago. We're not looking to see Brother Branham. We're starting to see this God, this life that was given in human flesh. In human flesh. God has called us to a place. It's a great thing to understand what God has called us to, but it's a great responsibility that God has given us. We are so blessed, but we don't realize. Sometimes we don't see what God has blessed us with. God has called us to this. How wonderful to understand what God has called us to. I say so many times, but I want to be so sold out. That's my desire. I want to be just what God shows us in the Word. That's what I want. I want to be just that. I want to be so sold out. I don't want nothing of the world. I don't want to have nothing holding me back. I can see what God's called us to. And it's our day to fulfill His word. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's stand. We'll have the musicians come. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to do whatever He calls me. I don't want to have my own thought. I don't need to have my own thought. I need to have the mind of Christ. Amen. You love Him tonight? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never no more to give. I want to love, yes, love till there's just no more love. For I could never, ever outlove the Lord. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. For I could never ever outlove the Lord.
Thank
you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
Yes, I'm done. We'll turn over to Brother Wade now.
Give our brother a good hand.
Hey, amen.
All right, remember this weekend, our youth meeting will be at 3 o'clock. Brother Matthew Watkins will be with us. And come expecting a good thing from the Lord. It's open to anybody, but it is catered to the youth. And then we'll have a meal afterwards. We'll need the ones that are volunteering. Sister June will be bringing the spaghetti and all, but she'll need somebody to help serve. All right, so, but it is for everybody to attend. Then there'll be something afterwards for the kids. So, and then Brother Matthew will be here Sunday, and it'll be Sunday morning service only at 10 o'clock or 9:45 now that we started having Sunday school class up here. So just come expecting a good thing from the Lord. Brother Matthew hadn't been here in probably about 15 years, so yeah. So it's been a while, and it was good to hear from him, and we're expecting good things for all the youth. We appreciate their participation anyway, right? Every Sunday we appreciate our youth. Amen? Amen. We appreciate their stand, and we appreciate what they do for us. Amen? Without them, some of you old people would have to get up here and play the violin. I don't know if anybody back there plays the violin. Not talking to you, Sarah. Sorry about that. It's okay. But just remember that. We'll start at 3 o'clock. Just try to get here. What time? If you want the servers to come, if they're not going to come to the service, shame on you. Okay. All right. But be here at least by 4 or 4:30 if you're not going to attend the service. I know people work and different things, so it's okay. But we need you to help serve when the service is over, which is usually about 4:30 or 5 o'clock. That's when we'll eat. So all minds clear. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this night that you give us. Lord, thank you for the word that's been spoken to us, Lord. Truly, there is a position that we need to be, Lord, and we know that there's a pile of rocks for all of us, Lord. There's something that we have to go through. There's a memorial that we go back to and say, thank you, Lord, for getting us across that Jordan River, the river of death, Father. We now, Lord, we know, though, that we're in the promised land, and you give us more boundaries, more land, more things that we'll do, Lord, as we're positionally placed in you. Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, be with the brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. Thank you for the miracles that are coming from that place already. And we're expecting greater miracles, Lord, because you said you'd take care of us in a time of trouble, Father. We pray now that you'd just be with each one on the highways. Bless them, Lord, as they head home and be with us, Lord, this weekend. Brother Matthew Watkins will be here, Lord, Saturday and Sunday. Father, we pray your blessings on everybody and everything as we go in your name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
There are some things